copyrighted program created by Rio Grande.
Los Angeles Police calling all cars. Attention all cars. Broadcast 275. Regarding a suspicious person at 5 and Broadway. Assist the officer. That's all.
If you consult your radio log and find a program listed merely as talk, you'll probably skip it. On the other hand, if you know that your favorite subject is going to be discussed by a recognized authority who knows what he's talking about, you'll give him your undivided attention. That's why so many motorists listen to the drivers of police cars, ambulances, fire engines, and other emergency equipment when they talk about gasoline. These men who drive the most know the most about gasoline. They're the foremost authorities on what a motor fuel should do, how it should perform. And so it really means something when these experts recommend Rio Grande Crack as the gasoline that meets every test of every emergency in any kind of weather. It really means something not only to us, but to you. The fact that Rio Grande powers more police and fire department emergency equipment wherever it is sold than any other brand. That endorsement of this better gasoline has led tens of thousands to make their own tests, has brought them the unequaled benefits of police car performance in their own cars. If you have not done so, I invite you to try Rio Grande Crack. Test it from every angle. And when you've finished, you'll be as enthusiastic as the rest of us over its quicker starting, smoother acceleration, maximum speed, greater power, and real money-saving mileage. Get that tank full in the morning, friends, and you'll understand why Rio Grande Crack is the most highly recommended gasoline sold in the West. The facts upon which the story we are about to hear are based have been taken from the confidential files of one of the most widely known detectives in the West. We have therefore asked Mr. Nick Harris to open our program.
Thank you, Dr. Lindsley. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to take my place among the law enforcement officers of the West who have appeared on this program and to endorse the ideals for which it stands. I've probably learned one thing more completely from my many years of investigative work than any other fact, that is, that crime of any sort cannot pay. Dollars are not the greatest cost accrue to crime, despite the fact that billions are paid out annually towards its suppression and to its criminals. The supreme price of the evil created by criminals of our land is found in the moral, in the heart, and in the souls of those affected directly or indirectly by crime. The story we are about to hear exemplifies most completely that statement, which has become almost a truth, that crime of any sort cannot pay.
Approaching the waiting room of a large department store in Los Angeles, Detective Nick Harris was wondering why his operative had insisted he personally take charge of what appeared to be a routine shoplifting arrest.
I'm glad you could come, Mr. Harris. It's really an unusual case, or I wouldn't have asked you.
What's unusual about a shoplifter? You've never had any trouble taking care of one before.
It's the girl sitting over there on the bench.
That girl?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's nothing but a child. Not more than 14.
I know. That's why the owner of the store refuses to prosecute her.
What did she take?
A pair of very good silk stockings. You can see that she's dressed well enough. It's not a case of actual need.
You're right. If she gets off too easily this time, she may try again. And when they get away with it a few times, it becomes a habit.
You've always told me preventing crimes was more important than solving them.
Okay, I'll talk to her. She'll be less frightened if you're not around.
Well, I'll get back to work then.
You did the right thing in calling me. We'll see how it works out. Well, young lady, what's all this about?
I don't know. Honest, I don't.
You don't know? You admit you did take the stockings, didn't you?
Yeah, I took them. I mean, I don't know why I did it. Honest, I don't.
Oh, come now. We both know that. You wanted them. And either couldn't or didn't want to pay for them. You did want the stockings, didn't you?
I guess so. I don't know, I tell you.
Oh, here, here, here. Now, that'll never do. What's your name, young lady?
Pearl's dying.
Well, Pearl, for your sake, we've got to think this thing out. The only people who get into trouble are the ones who don't think straight, or the ones who refuse to think of the consequences.
Everybody's always telling me to think, in school and at home and every place. I can't do anything I want to do.
Do you want to steal?
I told that woman I'd never do it again. I'm telling you, I'll never steal again as long as I live.
Now, believe me, Pearl, I'm not trying to be hard-hearted. But I know how easy it is to... Let's talk about something else. Tell me about your home.
What do you want to know about it?
Why, about your father and mother and what your interests are?
Well, my mother's a widow. She has to work in the laundry, and we're terribly poor.
Pearl, I'll check up on what you tell me.
But I'm telling you the truth. Honest, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Mother has to work such long hours that my sister has to take care of the baby and me. My sister's only a little bit older than I am.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pearl, I'm going to ask you something, and I want you to tell me the truth. I want to help you, and the only way I can is for you to have complete confidence in me.
I have. You've been nice.
Fine. You needn't be afraid, whatever your answer is. Pearl, have you ever taken anything like this before? Now, before you answer, let me explain why I ask. You say you don't know why you did it. Well, some people do it because they just can't help it. They're just a little sick in their minds, and they can be cured easily if we know that's why they take things.
Oh, no, I never took anything before in my whole life. Honest, I didn't.
All right, Pearl. And you're never going to again. Then I'll take you home.
Home? Oh, please, please, sir. I'd die if they knew anything about this.
Don't you realize how lucky you are in being taken home instead of the police station?
But Ma will give me an awful licking. I just know she will.
I didn't say I'd tell them.
But they'll know right away if I'm dragged home by a cop. I mean...
Just what do you mean? How would they know?
I don't know.
Come on, Pearl. We're going home to see just how much you do know.
Margaret coming to the door. Please don't tell her anything.
Oh, I'm going to let Margaret do the talking.
What's happened, Pearl?
What made you think something might have happened to Pearl?
Why, I don't know. I haven't done anything, Margaret. Don't let him scare you.
Margaret, I'm not even going to ask you if Pearl has done shoplifting before.
But she couldn't have.
She was caught doing it by one of my store detectives.
I mean, she had money with her.
Mm-hmm. The stockings she took cost more than she had with her.
Oh, you come in the house. Just wait till Ma gets home. You'll get a licking you'll never forget.
Wait a minute. I've done everything I can in talking to her and bringing her home. But we know her now, and the next time we catch her, it'll be a long time before she comes home.
I'm sure Pearl won't ever do it again. And thank you very much for not arresting her this time.
This time, huh?
I'll never, never do it again.
Pearl, you have every chance for a happy life if you keep that promise.
Stein was soon forgotten in the maze of police duties, many of them with a less promising outcome. Several months later, Detective Harris was called to a Fifth Street department store. With him went two of his operatives, Mrs. Lillian Brooks and Lulu Lane.
This cashier's been taking money for some time. I'm going to look the situation over, and then it's going to be up to you girls.
Is the management sure about it?
No, that's why they called us in.
Well, if they can't find anything by checking sales, she must be smart.
Let's see, they gave me the location of her desk. I want to come up from the back. Yeah, there she is. You two stay here where she can't see you. I'll be back. Why, hello, Pearl.
Oh, what are you doing here? Checking up on me?
Oh, just shopping, Pearl. I'm glad to see you helping your family by working. How do you like your job?
Oh, I like it much. It's swell.
That's fine.
I want to thank you for everything you did for me. I've been behaving myself just like I promised.
Well, I had hopes for you, Pearl.
Oh, now you can just forget all about me.
Oh, I never forget anyone I try to help. But this isn't getting my shopping done.
Well, I hope I never see you again, unless you're shopping.
Bye, Pearl.
Goodbye.
She's walking ahead of me toward the exit. That was Pearl Stein.
Does she have a record?
Not yet, but I'm afraid it won't be long now.
You can't see us from here.
Lillian, tomorrow morning you're going to have a job as sales lady here. You're going to be in a spot where you can watch every move Pearl makes.
And I'm going to find out what she does at night, huh?
Right. I'll send Hazel Brown to work with you. Meet her outside the employee's entrance when the store closes and stay with Pearl until she's tucked into bed.
You weren't going to show up.
What's the matter, Lula? Getting too old for these night watches?
I am not. I just didn't buy these dandy slippers for some truck driver in a beer garden to walk all over.
Yeah. Don't tell me it's going to be one of those far into the night affairs.
Hey, wait a minute. Here comes Pearl now. The one with the three layers of makeup.
I could have spotted her without the tip. Let's look at your paper.
Huh. Doesn't seem anxious to catch a streetcar.
Well, well. She has a date. And at her tender age.
Tender? Don't you know that guy she's talking to?
No.
He works the department stores on the lookout for a young girl just out of school.
Well, let's go get him.
Listen, you know we can't touch him without evidence, and that's not our assignment.
Sorry, I just don't like to hesitate with his type.
Well, there they go. Will you bustle up another notch, Hazel? We've got work to do.
What time is it?
It's only 11:45. Now, don't tell me you're tired of dancing. This is only the second joint we've been in.
Yeah, but it's a sixth they've been in. Think they'll recognize us?
No, they are both too drunk.
Well, let's sit in the booth next to them. Maybe we can pick up something of their conversation.
Let's. It's bound to be more interesting than dancing.
Isn't it what you're saying to me? You think I'm pretty, see? I knew what you were thinking even before you said that.
You're a woman of the world, is that it?
Well, what do you think?
I think you're pretty. You said you knew that before I chose it.
I didn't say I knew it. I said I knew you were thinking it before you said it.
Why? Said why?
What's the difference?
Oh, come on, Charlie. Let's go someplace else.
Okie doke. Anything you say is okie doke.
I'm telling you, this place looks just like the last place, Charlie. Are you sure it isn't the last place?
Oh, no, Pearl, I ain't sure it isn't the last place. What if it is the last place?
I don't care. It's swell.
Sure, it's swell.
You know, Charlie, this is what I call living.
Yeah.
Doing what you want to do and not having anybody watching you and telling you to do something else.
You don't have to worry about that when you're with me.
Say, Charlie, it's well as you to check me out.
Oh, I ain't doing anything. You're paying the bills, ain't you, honey?
Yes, yes. So let's go someplace else. I want to have a lot of life.
Driver, put your lights out. I don't want the people in the taxi ahead to notice us.
Pearl's going in that apartment house. Where's her boyfriend?
Probably too drunk to get out of the cab. Yep, there it goes.
Well, what now?
Oh, nothing until tomorrow night. I phone in the report tomorrow, but I don't get out of bed to do it.
Oh, what a night.
Yes. And I'll bet Pearl shows up at the store in the morning as fresh as a daisy.
You mean fresh as a wildflower.
Stein had moved from the protection of her home and was now living her own life. For several nights, she was followed. Then one morning, Operative Brooks, still in the role of sales lady, phoned Detective Harris that she had ample evidence for an arrest.
Nice work, Mrs. Brooks. I brought Lulu Lane to help you. Pearl doesn't know her.
Hello, Lulu.
Hello, Ed.
You will be a help. You see, Pearl's been forgetting to ring up sales, but I didn't know what she was doing with the money. I got acquainted with her and noticed she kept a makeup box right under the cash register. Dropped some money in that when she powdered her nose. And I think so. Now, I'll go and admire the makeup box and ask to see it.
And she'll head for the restroom to get the money out of it.
So I'll be in there to nab her when she does.
Right. Go ahead, girls. I'll phone the manager of the store.
Hello, Pearl.
Hello, Lillian. This counter's not doing much, is it?
Nothing at all. Say, honey, can I borrow some of your lipstick? I can't seem to find mine.
Sure. Here you are.
Yeah, that's a beautiful makeup box. Can I look at it?
Why, oh, it's nothing much.
No, but it is. Say, I'd like to get one like it. Go on, let me see it.
Sure. Sure, I'll let you see it. But I'm going to use it right now. I'll show it to you as soon as I get back.
Okay, dearie.
Hey, what
you tearing up those sales slips for?
What's it to you?
Just this. You've seen a badge like this before.
Why,
oh,
you...
Oh, no, you don't. Give me those sales slips.
Hey.
Hold on, girl, Lulu.
I don't have to. I got the sales slips.
All right, take them. You haven't got a thing on me.
Those slips will add up to exactly what you had in that makeup box.
The money's in her stocking now.
That's perfect. Come on, Pearl. There's an old friend of yours outside waiting to see you.
That's the way it was, Mr. Harris.
So what?
What? No tears this time, Pearl?
All right, Carver, what are you going to do about it?
I'm sorry to say I'm not going to do anything. The management foolishly refuses to prosecute you because of your youth.
Youth? Oh, shut up.
I can see it won't do any more good to talk to you than it did the last time.
That's a break.
You're going to be discharged without references. It'd do you much more good to be put where you'd have to rise. You can't get away with this forever.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. You're getting another chance you don't deserve. Pearl, why don't you go straight?
Say, listen, you'll never get anything again, Copper.
I hope there won't be anything to get on you.
Yes, you do not.
Despite Pearl Stein's attitude, he was unheard of for over a year. Then reports of theft from department stores totaling thousands of dollars made store operatives wonder if Pearl had graduated into big-time shoplifting. Among them was Lulu Lane, who followed a girl and a man through the entrance of one of the largest stores.
Marie, come on and take a walk with me. We may have some work to do.
Sure, Lulu, but I thought this was your day off.
It is. But that's Pearl Stein ahead of us. She's with the fellow with the one arm.
Does she have a record?
Not an off price that I know of. We've been wondering about her. Hey, they're heading for the dress department.
How does she work?
I don't know what her style is now, but she knows me, so I'll go over and wait by the door.
I get it. If she lifts something, I'll give you the business, and you nab her if she goes out,
yeah.
Huh?
If she goes in the dressing room, get chummy with the boyfriend. It'll be easy to.
I'm practically in his lap right now. And even though it does cost $500, it'll make me look just marvelous in my next picture. Don't you think so, Charles?
Sure thing, honey. Why don't you go try it on, maybe?
I think I will.
The dressing room's right over here, miss. May I help you?
Oh, that's all right. It won't take me a minute. I know I'm going to like it. I'll be right back, Charles.
I'll be here.
Will you excuse me? I have another customer.
Sure. It's okay. I'll have a smoke.
Oh, excuse me, but did you tell me which way the dressing rooms are?
Huh? Oh, sure thing. Right over there.
Oh, there. I was told to meet someone, but I don't see them.
Well, come along later. Can you have a seat?
Thank you.
Cigarette?
Oh, you're very kind. I don't imagine you're alone.
No. Not in this department.
I bet your girl's buying a wedding gown.
No such luck. She is getting a swell outfit. She's got a contract for pictures.
Oh, how marvelous.
Mm-hmm. And here she comes now. Where's the dress, honey?
I left it in the dressing room. Who's this dame?
She's just waiting for somebody. Clerk.
Yes, sir? I'll take that dress. But I just remembered I have to be at the studio in half an hour. Will you take a deposit on it?
Certainly, ma'am. Where is it?
I left it in the dressing room. Here's $5 on it. The name's Pearl Stone.
Come on, honey. You'll be late.
Oh, may I walk to the entrance with you?
What?
I always wanted to talk to an actress.
No, we're in a hurry. Just a minute, Pearl.
Huh?
You!
Yeah, me.
Up to your old tricks again, huh?
Dipping, you have to face old... Say, you haven't got a thing on me.
Well, we'll see. What'd you get, Marie?
Plenty. It's a new gag on me.
Well, I'll be.
I left that dress in the dressing room, but you take your paws off me.
She wasn't that fat around the waist when she went in there.
Well, that's it. You wrapped the dress around your waist under your own dress.
Listen, that isn't a dress on the bear. It's me.
Okay, then you must have eaten it. And that's against the law, too. Come on.
Pearl Stein pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 6 months in the city jail, her youth acting in her favor. Upon her release, she was watched every time she entered a store. Pearl was now a master lifter and was fast becoming an expert criminal.
If you're going to do any shopping in this store, Pearl, I'm going to come along and help you.
I don't need any store to help me shop.
Well, just the same, you're going to get that kind of help every time you go near anything that can be picked up. Save a lot of time.
You're going to tell me I can't even go in this drugstore without one of you rats following me?
Well, I'm just curious about the number of times you go in drugstores. This makes the ninth one today.
All right, Sue. You'll find out anyhow. I want a 10-cent bottle of Paragoid.
Paragoid? Say, are you drinking this stuff?
No. Well, wash my feet in it.
And if I remember
remember, that wasn't the hat you were wearing when you went in the store.
I just bought this hat cover, so you can get your hands off me.
You didn't buy anything, Pearl. But you did put your old hat on the rack and walk out with this one that you'd been trying on.
Oh, yeah.
And what's this bulge under your blouse? If you're putting on weight there, it's a mighty funny place. Come on.
Oh, all right. What's the difference? I might as well be in.
And so the first place you head for when you got out of jail the second time is a dress store.
I've been out 3 months. Hey, listen, who are you anyway?
I don't believe you know me at that, Pearl. You're too hopped up. Where are you getting the stuff?
I don't know what you're talking about. I work in this store.
Oh, so you work here. Well, tell me why you were heading for the entrance with that dress over your arm.
I was going to the buyer's office with it.
My mistake, Pearl. But if you go out that door with that dress, you know how long you'll go up for this time. Well, there she goes, Hazel. She's so high, she doesn't even know what she's doing. Let's go get her. All right, Pearl. Just
hey!
Take it easy.
Hey, get away from me!
Hold her wrist, Hazel.
I've got her.
Hey, I'll get you for this!
Got Hazel?
Hey, back!
I've got her.
After serving her third prison term, Pearl Stein was not seen for over a year. Then, after arresting two men who had been systematically robbing public telephone pay stations, Detective Harris went to an apartment on South Main Street in search of the man who had been making master keys to the coin boxes. With him went two detective lieutenants.
Guess nobody's at home.
Maybe it's a break.
If this pass key works, we can look around.
Making machinery in this room, boys, anyway.
Me neither.
Wait a minute. There's somebody in the next room.
Well, I'll be.
Pearl Stein. What are you doing here? Open that door, Pearl. Come on. You can't get out the back way. Well, you going to open it? All right, let's break it open. What'd you throw out that window, Pearl?
What's it to you, copper?
Oh, you haven't had your shot yet this morning, have you? You're in a bad humor. Well, we'll just have to go down and see for ourselves what you threw out.
No, no. No, don't do that. Oh, don't do that to me.
All right, then suppose you tell us what this is all about.
Well, I've been living here with Ed Farley and his wife.
Yeah, go on.
I didn't throw anything out the window. But if you find something down there, you'll think I did.
Oh, stop beating around the bush.
I don't want to go up for that. Oh, you just can't send me up for it. You got to give me a break.
What are you talking about?
I threw about 60 of those master keys out the window.
So you're mixed up in that racket now.
No, I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm just living here with Ed and his wife.
Well, what are you getting hysterical about it for, then?
Because I threw something else out. Oh, you got to give me a break. If I went up for that, it'd kill me.
What was it?
Hypodermic needles. Four hypodermic needles.
So you're peddling dope?
No, I'm not. Oh, you got to let me go. You got to. I can't stand it.
Shut up. Now, listen to me. First, I want to know about Farley and these keys. If you're not mixed up in that, why'd you try to get rid of them? Well, come on, talk.
Tim and his wife have been nice to me. I was trying to protect him.
All right. Now, I'll tell you what I'll do for you, Pearl. I'll give you a break if you'll tell me where Farley makes his keys and where I can get him.
How do I know you'll let me off?
I've always been on the square with you, haven't I?
Yeah, I guess so.
Then go ahead and spill it.
Well, I don't make the keys. A guy by the name of Jim Chandler makes them. I'll give you his address.
What was Farley doing with them?
He was selling them to young punks for $25 a piece. He's only sold two so far, I know that.
That's a break for everybody. Will Farley come back here?
Yeah, he'll be here. Oh, but you gotta let me get away first.
All right, Pearl. But we'll get you sooner or later if you keep on peddling that stuff.
I won't do it no more. I promise.
Yeah, I've heard your promises before. It just happens that I couldn't have sent you up for that anyhow today, or I would have.
What do you mean?
I'd have to get you in the act of peddling it or catch it with it on you.
And you made me rat on Ed. Why, you double-crossing heel!
Oh, no, I'm not. I told you you'd go in for it sooner or later, and I'm probably saving Farley and his wife from becoming addicts, if they're not already.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'm going to go east, Mr. Harris. I'm going to try to get a new start.
Well, I'll hope for a miracle, Pearl. But I think you gave yourself your last chance when you decided to live your own life. You've been living it, but I don't think you're going to much longer.
Pearl Stein did leave Los Angeles. But instead of going east to a new start in life, she went to San Francisco. She found new companions. And the only change she made was to switch from morphine to cocaine. Quicker acting, more responsive to her deadened nerves. In a large building, a doctor greeted a new patient.
Will you come in, please? Sit right there.
Doc, I don't feel so good. I feel like, well, sometimes I think I'm dying.
Yes, go on.
I don't know what's the matter with me. I've never been sick before.
Young woman, what's the real reason that made you come to me?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know as well as I do.
Yeah, I know. Oh, but you've got to do something for me.
A sanitarium is the only place that can do anything for anyone in your condition.
No, no. No, you've got to do something for me where I'm not locked up.
The only solution to your problem. It's your only hope. And frankly, I can't guarantee the results of that.
Oh, well, all right. I'm sorry I troubled you.
Don't you even want to try to do something for yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. My, these instruments are shiny. What do you call this one?
That's a scalpel. Please put it down.
I'll bet it's sharp. I'll bet you could kill somebody nice and easy with it.
Will you please put that down?
No, I won't. You know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to cut your face to ribbons.
You're crazy.
Yeah, that's it. I'm crazy. That's what's the matter with me. I've been that way for a long time. But don't you think you'd better do what I tell you?
Yes, of course I will. Anything at all.
Well, then, listen. You're going to give me treatment. And you're not going to say one little word to the cops. If you do, I'll get you. I'll kill you.
I won't go to the police. I promise.
You promise?
Yes. I'll have you all fixed up in a jiffy. Now, just go out in my waiting room. Leave the scalpel here.
There.
That's fine. I'll be right with you as soon as I call a special nurse for you.
You're very nice, Doctor. I made a promise once, but I didn't keep it.
Give me the police department, quickly.
I heard that! Say, you're not going to do that to me! You can tell her that when they get here that you've killed me!
Come away from that window. Get back, I tell you!
Remember, friends, all automobiles look alike in the dealer's showroom. It's what goes into the gas tank and the crankcase that makes the difference. And to make certain that the difference is in your favor, see to it that your gas tank gets real police car performance, Rio Grande cracked. That your crankcase gets real lube, or Rio Grande Pennsylvania. The motor oils that can't be broken down by engine heat are slowed up by the coldest kind of weather. And now, Mr. Harris.
Thus, Pearlstein ended her career of crime. Hers was a life that was completely wasted. The story proves again that crime is a losing proposition.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Attention all cars. Cancellation of broadcast 275 regarding a suspicious person. Suspect in this case committed suicide. That's all. Rose and Quinn.
Next week at this time, Rio Grande will present the case of the $20 bill. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.